Praise the Lord. Well, you can open your Bibles to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1, and we're going to take a look at some things here I hope it will help us. And I don't know how far we're going to get in that psalm, but we're going to get started anyway. And so Psalms chapter 1, verse beginning with verse 1, I'm going to read the whole psalm because it's not real long. It's only six verses. And then I want to read it in the voice translation as well. It says here, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." Then it goes into verse 4. "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And some of those things in there, it's maybe not quite as easy to understand. The voice translation brings some added understanding, I think. So let me read it to you out of that. Just listen to this. It says, "God's blessings follow and await you at every turn when you don't follow the advice of those who delight in wicked schemes, when you avoid sin's highway, when judgment and sarcasm beckon you, you refuse." He says in verse 2, "For you, the eternal words is your happiness. It is your focus from dusk to dawn. You're like a tree planted by flowing cool streams of water that never run dry. Your fruit ripens in its time. Your leaves never fade or curl in the summer sun. No matter what you do, you prosper. For those who focus on sin, the story is different. They're like the fallen husk of wheat tossed by an open window, left deserted and alone. In the end, the wicked will fall in judgment. The guilty will be separated from the innocent. Their road will suddenly end in death." And then he says, "Yet the journey of the righteous has been charted by the eternal." I like that last phrase. The journey of the righteous has been charted by the eternal. And so I want to take a look at this. And we'll just take a quick oversight of this. This is a very definite, clear psalm in much of what it has to say. It is the beginning of the psalm book. It's credited to David. And there's a clear contrast between the righteous and the ungodly. And, you know, the enemy would like to make that picture not as clear. And he likes for people to drift and to not have a clear picture of how the righteous ought to live, and that would be distinct from the way that the ungodly live. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me know if I'm preaching to the right people here tonight. Amen. Glory to God. We'll just have to go back over it if I don't get enough amens. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now it says here in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." And that tells us three things right there that the ungodly are not to get involved in. We are not to listen to the counsel of the ungodly. We are not to, as a voice translation, we are not to follow the advice of those who delight in wicked schemes. Okay? And so, and then it says that we're not to stand in the path of sinners. The voice translation says we're not to go on sin's highway. We're not going to travel that. We ought not travel that road, the road of sin. Isn't that right? Look at your neighbor and say that. I know that's right. And so then at last it says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. That is, don't sit with those who mock and make fun of others, especially those that are following God. And especially the ones that make fun of God. You wouldn't want to be found sitting close there. I get uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but sometimes I hear something and I happen to be close and I just tell the Lord, I said, would you please wait for the lightning to drop until I get away? Because sometimes, you know, things happen. Things happen and you just, all of a sudden you're right there and it happened and somebody said something and they're like, I got to get away, you know. You know, there's some things you don't want to hang around with. Come on now. And then it goes on in verse 2 through 3. It tells us three things that God's people can do. How many of you know if we can't do some things, then we ought to be able to do some things. Isn't that right? I know I grew up in a religion where we had many don'ts, not so many do's. And so it seemed like everything I wanted to do was over in that don't list. You know, as a kid growing up, you know, you wanted to go play ball. Well, you can't do that certain times. Not on Sunday afternoon. You're not supposed to do that on Sunday afternoon, I was told. And I thought to myself, it's the same baseball. Amen. And so, anyway, so it says here in verse 2, it says he delights in the law of the Lord. That is, it is not just something that he does as a task. It is not something that you do as a duty. It is not a ritual that you do. But it is a delight to you to open up the Word of God. It is something that you yearn for. It is something that you look at. You'd rather do that than eat dessert. Come on now. Amen. Now you know for some of you that's really liking the Word. Amen. And so we need to realize to delight ourselves in the Word of God and be happy with that. Be happy in the Word. And then he says, in verse 2, and in his law he meditates day and night. So he is to delight himself in the Lord, and he is to meditate upon the Word of God day and night. That is, he ought to water himself continually with the Word of God. The Bible talks in Ephesians chapter 5 about the washing of the water by the Word. How that we're cleansed by that. We ought to meditate in the Word of God and let the Word of God wash over our soul and cleanse our thought life. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. And we ought to meditate upon the Word of God until something solid is built on the inside so that which is outside is not as certain as what you have on the inside. Come on now. So we meditate upon that. We meditate upon the Word until there's clear understanding in our heart. Isn't that right? Until there's clear understanding. In other words, I understand what I'm supposed to do now. You know what I'm saying? If the road's not clear, go back and meditate the Word some more. If what I'm supposed to do is not clear to me, go back and meditate the Word, because the answer is always found in the Word of God. The answer is always found in the Word of God. And he goes on and he says this, the effect of that is that you become like a tree. You become like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And I like to look at it this way, that if I keep meditating the Word of God, I'm planting myself in the water of the Word, and I'm being watered by the Word of God, that ever flowing Word of God. And I am like a tree when everything else is shriveling up. I've got my roots sunk down deep in the Word of God, and I'm able to stand, and I'm able to bear fruit, and I'm able to outlast the drought and the trouble and the trials and the tests that come. Amen. Because I got my roots down deep. Isn't that right? In the down where the water is. I got, you know what I'm saying? And so when the enemy comes my way and he checks me out, how many of you know he checks you out? How many of you he's knocked on your door at least once or twice? Amen. How many of you could lift both hands and both legs and count all toes and fingers twice? You know, you could, you know. And you know, listen to me, when he comes knocking on the door, let me tell you something. You know he's in trouble when you've been meditating in the Word and you've got your roots clear down in the Word of God, deep down in the Word of God. And at first sight, the Word of God comes flying up out of your heart and out of your mouth and puts him on the run. Amen. But you can always tell people when people aren't meditating on the Word of God, you know. They're the ones that, well, anyway, you can just tell. You can just tell when we're not meditating on the Word of God, you know. Well, I don't know. It's poor old me. See, we start saying things that aren't in the Word. The Word's not coming up. You know what I'm saying? We're not so sure about the Word anymore. Because we're not meditating on the Word and getting it down in us and getting it solid in our hearts. The psalmist said in another psalm, he said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." How many of you are happy about that? It means that God's not going to change anything that he's written. Isn't that right? But now the big question is this: do you have it settled in your heart? It's settled in heaven, but you need to settle it in your heart. And so if he settled it in heaven and I settled it in my heart, then we can walk in agreement and then we can walk in the ways of the Lord. And we're not dismayed when the trouble comes. We're not in fear when the enemy comes and he huffs and puffs and wants to blow our house down. Do you know what I'm saying? Because the word comes up. Because you see, what you put in there is what's going to come out. Now, let me tell you something. Let me show you how you can tell when you've got enough word in you. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Luke 6:45. And he says that. And so here's the thing. When pressure comes, what comes out of you? Because something will come out. And so you see, now you say, what's going to come out? Whatever you put in there is what's going to come out. It's real deep. I'll probably write that down. You know? And, you know, if I put the latest comic book in me, and that's all I read is the comic books, you know, I'm going to, you know, and the pressure comes on me, I might try to climb a building like Spider-Man, but I might find out that I was disillusioned by some things about the time that I lose my grip on the building. You know what I'm saying? And so anyway, and I might find out that I'm not quite the Superman that I thought I was. If I keep putting the news, you know, the internet news, evening news, whatever, wherever you get your news. If I'm putting that in there predominantly, guess what's going to come out? Something along those lines is going to come out. And so if I put the word in me, keep putting the word in me, keep putting the word in me, then when pressure comes, I'm going to have the word come out. Amen. And so that's what's necessary in order to make it through the drought times, the times when pressure's on, or the times when things aren't going, or you're being under attack, or challenges come your way. You're going to have that word in you to make it. Amen. Or if you don't have it, then you better find somebody that's got it. And you better stick close to them. And you just say what they say. Amen. And so, So we need to recognize it. So we become this tree, like this tree that's planted by the water. We become this person that's planted in the Word. Amen. And it says that, and it says your fruit ripens, your fruit, you bring forth fruit in its season. The Voice translation says your fruit ripens in its time. In other words, there's fruit that comes forth out of what you've been doing, out of putting the Word in you. There's some fruit shows in your life. You know, there's some things ought to show up in your life if you've been putting the Word in you. What do you mean by that? Well, the fruit of the Spirit ought to be showing up. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faith, self-control. Got quiet, didn't it? Did you notice that? You got quiet too. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just messing with you because that's the price you pay on the front row, you know. And so we become fruitful. That's one of the things that you can be. Number one, you delight in the Word. Number two, you meditate in the Word. And number three, you become fruitful and prosperous in whatever you do. Amen. Fruitful and prosperous. Say it with me. Fruitful and prosperous. Let's say that again. It kind of has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Fruitful and prosperous. Say it one more time. Fruitful and prosperous. Amen. And then he goes into, and I'm going to tell you real quickly, not going to waste, spend a lot of time on this. Three things that happen to the unrighteous. It says that they have no solid foundation. It says they're like the chaff that blows in the wind. No solid foundation. Nothing is certain in life. They have no guarantees of this life or the one to come. And so and then it says they'll not stand in judgment. The New Living Translation says that they are condemned at the time of judgment. How many of you know judgment will come? Don't get quiet on me right now. Because if you judge yourself, now's the time to do it. It's better to voluntarily judge yourself than it is to have God have to do it. Isn't that right? Come on, look at somebody and say, I know he's telling the truth there. And it says, and they have no part with the congregation of God's people. They are not, they're separated. Listen to me, they're separated from the people of God in that they're not born again, in that they're not. Well, Ephesians chapter 2 talks about how that they were strangers to the promises of God. I mean, how many of you can remember a time when you were a stranger to the promises of God? Oh, yeah. I can remember when I didn't know one of them. Exactly. I didn't know one promise. The other thing is, I didn't know they were for me. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? And so they have no part with the... So you can readily see it's just better to be a child of God. Amen. Isn't that right?
Right?
Now, go back up there. It says, blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly, not in the counsel of the ungodly. The Amplified Version says it begins it this way. It says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and envious is the man. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me. If you do the right things and refuse to do the wrong things, you can have a happy life. You see what I'm saying? You see, your happiness is not in things. Because how many of you have ever had things, were able to obtain things, and all of a sudden you wanted more things? You became unhappy because you didn't have the next thing. And so you see, happiness is not able to satisfy the inner desires of a man, a person. And so you're going to have to learn to, now I'm not against things. You understand what I mean by that? Things have their place. And I think, you know, having grown up in a life where we focused on doing things, doing without a lot of things, because that's what that church said we ought to do. And so I think that things are better than not having things. You know, I think that electricity is better than not having it. Air conditioning is better than not having it. A fan's better than not having it. Isn't that right? A car's better than not having it. But I'm just saying, my happiness is not in that. And if you think that happiness is in the things you have, let me tell you something. If you're happy with what you got at the moment, it won't be long before you get unhappy, because you'll see another thing that looks better than the thing you got. See, your happiness is not in things. Your happiness is in following God and in doing the things that God tells you to do. You know, one of the people that I knew, this man named Richard, and he was a grouch, and he grew, I think he probably grew up that way, because I knew his mom and dad, and his dad, I don't know about his mother, but his dad was the same way. And they nicknamed him, their last name, they just called him, instead of his last name, they called him Pop. And so, why did they do that? Well, because it didn't take much for him to pop off and get, you know, sound off about and get mad, you know what I'm saying? He was just not a happy person, you know. Always saw the negative side of things and always was just griping about things, just sure that somebody is out to take advantage of them. And had just was sure that the worst thing's going to happen. And so Richard, his son, worked in the factory with me, and so Richard would gripe and growl and grunt and you know, and hard to carry on a normal conversation with him, because he was just so negative and he was so grouchy and just not happy overall. And so one day I decided that I was going to take on the mission of getting him to say good morning. And I have to tell you, that took a while. That took months. Because the first morning I greeted him on my mission, I said, good morning, Richard. It's a great morning, isn't it? That's all I got out of him. Just grunted at me. Literally, just grunted at me. Not a happy camper. You know. So I kept it up every morning. Good morning, Richard. Good morning, Richard. Good morning, Richard. Finally, one day, I heard this. Morning. You had to interpret it. But it was there. He didn't say good morning. He said morning. Now I can tell you safely about it, because he's in heaven right now. He did get saved. He got saved later on after I left there. But I'm just saying, it was a... But I kept after it. Because you see, I thought everybody ought to be happy. You know, and so I wanted Richard to be happy, and he didn't listen much to anybody, but you know, they in the factory, they called me the preacher, and because I would just keep preaching, the quoting scripture and the word and those kind of things, and didn't get involved in some of the things that they were getting involved in, and wore a Jesus pin on my cap, you know, and all of that. And I remember the one day when the Lord impressed me, put that Jesus pin on your cap. And so I put it right in the middle of the insignia. I said, okay, that'll be fine. All right, Lord, is that all right? And so I put it on there, and I went to work, and the Lord spoke to me just as clear as any time I've ever heard him. He said, you can't really see that very clear in the middle of that insignia. Why don't you put it off on the side? I mean, just, I thought, Lord, okay. So I did it. You know, how many of you have ever been there? You know, you obeyed the Lord, but it was, you know, I just wasn't sure about this, you know. Well, you know, everybody saw it, you know. And so we, you know, once you get labeled something like that, you're some fanatic for God, you know, they're going to watch you like crazy. They're going to really watch you. And so they watched me, And so we just kept doing what we were doing, and we're just excited for Jesus, you know. So we had an influence on Richard, and Richard's in heaven now. And he got saved soon after by some of the people that I hung around with, helped get him saved, and he started living for the Lord. And he died at an early age, had a heart attack, and died at an early age. But he's in heaven now, and he's there. But you've had to find out that happiness is not in circumstances. Happiness is not in your family lineage. Happiness is not in things. Happiness is not in whether you have to go to work or not. Happiness is not in whether you got the latest and greatest tech toy. Happiness is following God. Come on now. Amen. You're blessed. You're blessed because you're following God. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. You know, sometimes, how many of you have had the Lord bless you with some things? Oh, the Lord's blessed me with a number of things. I mean, you know, my wife and I, she was telling me here not too long ago, she never dreamed we'd be able to live in a house like we do, and a neighborhood like we do, and all of that. You know, and that's the blessing of the Lord in that sense. You know what I'm saying? But you know, that's really not why we're blessed. I'm not blessed because I have a house. Not blessed because I got a car. Not blessed because I got, you know, clothes. That's not why I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I'm following God. Do you know what I'm saying? And sometimes we can't just take these externals and say, okay, I'm blessed with the Lord. Look what I got. I'm wearing this. I'm wearing that. I got this. I got that. Good Lord, I got 1 minute to wrap it up. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Paul said this in Acts chapter 26, verse 2. He said this to King Agrippa. He said, he was in standing in chains, and he said, I think myself happy. He said, I think I'm happy today. I might have some chains on the outside, but my happiness is not in whether I have chains or not. My happiness is in what I have on the inside. There's a man that's been meditating in the Word of God. There's a man that's been delighting himself in the Lord. Isn't that right? And so he said, I think myself happy. Some people think themselves other ways. But you know, Abraham Lincoln said, he said, most people are about as happy as they think they are. And you know, sometimes you just got to make a decision to be happy based on the Word of God. Well, let me tell you something. I might not have this, and I might not be dressed like you, and I might not drive a vehicle like you, and I might not have a house like you, and I might not have a job like you. But let me tell you what I do have. I do have the living God living on the inside. I do have the written Word of God that I've been putting on the inside. I got the Holy Spirit, the greater one, living on the inside. I got angels camped around about me. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I got the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. I'm telling you, I got plenty of things to be happy about. And if that isn't enough, I'm connected with a group of people that are just like me, and we're all living together in the faith, glory to God, standing together in the faith, glory to God. And so I think myself happy, glory to God. Ha ha ha. Some people are only happy and think themselves blessed when they don't have any problems, but most of the time they would be unhappy then, wouldn't they? Isn't that right? How many of you know every day has its own situations? Isn't that right? So if you're waiting for your situations to change so you can consider yourself blessed or happy, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, don't wait for that. Just go ahead and get happy now. I said, just go ahead and get happy now. I said, just go ahead and get happy now. Just go ahead and just call yourself blessed right now. Just go ahead and call yourself, I am blessed of the Lord. I'm blessed of the Lord. I'm blessed of the Lord. Stand to your feet. I'll tell you what, friends, listen to me. Don't wait till your bank account gets up to a certain level before you call yourself blessed. I'm blessed no matter what my bank account says. I'm blessed of the Lord. I got an abundance of scriptures. I got the Word of God in me. And let me tell you something. I'm connected with the one who has all the silver and gold. I know that we think we own a bunch of it and we got it stored in Fort Knox. But the Bible says that the silver and the gold is mine, says the Lord. And so I just want you to understand that we're just caretakers of that which belongs to the Lord. But I want to tell you this. Listen to me. I am connected to the living God. Lift your hands and let's just say this. I am connected to the living God. I am connected to Almighty God. I am connected to El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. He is able to help me in every situation. His word resides in me. His word is like water to a plant. It causes me to be strong, to be steady in the times of trouble. And therefore, because I have the word, I'm bearing much fruit, much fruit, much fruit, much fruit. I bear the fruit of love. I bear the fruit of kindness. I bear the fruit of long-suffering. I bear the fruit of gentleness. I bear the fruit of goodness. I bear the fruit of faith. I bear the fruit of self-control. I bear the fruit of meekness. Hallelujah. I am a fruitful person. And I am blessed. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. The psalmist ends up and says, whatever you do prospers. Whatever you do prospers. Now, is the word true? Now, listen to this. Is the word true or not? He said, now listen, this is for somebody. You need to hear this. Whatever you're doing will prosper. Somebody needs to hear that. Because you've been waiting for some things to change. Waiting for some things to change. Waiting for some things to change. Let me tell you something. Bible says, whatever you do prospers. If you're doing the above, if the Lord is your delight, and if you're meditating in the word, you're going to bear fruit, and whatever you do prospers. You see, most of the time our mind checks out and says, well, that's too good to be true. But the fact of the matter is, that's what the Bible says. But you got to do this, do the above, and then you come to that. But I perceive this by the Spirit that there's somebody here. You've been delighting yourself in the Lord, and you've been meditating on the Word of God. But just change your make that adjustment. Whatever you do is prospering. Call yourself prosperous because you're doing the above. Hallelujah! You're blessed of the Lord. I said you're blessed of the Lord. I said you're blessed of the Lord. You're blessed of the Lord. You're connected with Him. Who is able to make you prosper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands one more time. Let's bless the Lord tonight. Father, we do thank you that you're doing a mighty work in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, just a couple things. One is this. I do not know. This is the strangest thing. But if you got voice problems, then I want to pray for you. I heard this over there. There's people here with some voice problems. I don't know what that means, but if it means something to you, then come. We'll pray for you. Voice problems. You got a voice problems, then you come. We want to pray for you. There's one coming right here. Several of you coming. If you got voice problems of some kind, yeah, if you just come right there, that'd be great. Hallelujah. And then somebody's dealing with something. It's something like a headache, but it's right up in here, right up in here. Something there. I don't know if it's just a headache or whether it's an injury or whatever it might be. But if you're that, then I want to pray for you as well. We're going to pray for you. And that's what the Lord spoke to me about and said that. And so, and hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody else needs to know this. Don't be giving up now. Don't give up right now. Don't quit right now. You've been thinking about quitting, but don't do that. The Lord is, I hear the Lord saying that. Don't quit right now. Don't quit just before God moves. Amen. Just stay steady. Keep feeding yourself the word. Just keep feeding yourself the word. Just keep feeding yourself the word. And you'll find that the Lord is moving, and you'll be glad you didn't quit. Amen. Voice problems. I'm gonna give you some instructions up here. Those of you that are up here, I'm going to lay my hands on you. You need to believe that when I lay hands on you, that God will move, touch your life, and that whatever's wrong with your voice, and for those of you that have this something going on in your headache or whatever it is, or head injury or whatever it is, then you believe for that to go in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so I don't have magic hands. But we do have hands that healing can flow through. Amen. So we thank God for that. So just get your eyes on Jesus. You know, I'm just the messenger. I'm just the vessel. And so we thank God for that right now. We thank you that voice problems are being healed in the name of Jesus. It's even starting right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I see that. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I pray for your voice right now. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I pray for your voice. Be healed right there. It is flowing in the name of Jesus. Just receive that. Just let it flow. There's that anointing flowing in the name of Jesus. In the name, healing in the voice in the name of Jesus. There it is. Now that voice will get strong. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands up like this. So you're getting ready to receive. In the name of Jesus. Voice problems healed from every voice problem in Jesus' name. Voice problems. In the name of Jesus right here. Are you ready? In the name of Jesus right there. There's that voice problems healed. In the name. There it is. Just let it flow. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now just, I want you to do something. I want you to do something. Listen to me. I want you to do something. Listen to me. Don't do anything. Do not do anything. Because here's the thing. You want God to do something, right? Let me tell you something. The greatest secret I've ever found is to admit your helplessness. Unless you do something, Lord. So just stand there just like that. Say, Lord, if you don't do anything, it's not going to happen in the name of Jesus. But you're the helper. Say, you're the helper, Lord. You're right there. Healing. There's that anointing flowing in the name of Jesus. They see there? See there? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Voice problems. How long? Jesus, right there. Are you ready? In the name of Jesus. There's that anointing. Jesus wants you to know He loves you and He has compassion upon you, and that healing power, that compassion is flowing in your body in that form of healing power right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Healing power. In Jesus' name. Ha ha ha. Say that with me. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. It's working in the name of Jesus. Healing power is flowing in the name of Jesus. Just keep praising the Lord. You like that? Yeah, it's got working. Yep. What about you? In the name of Jesus, healing power flowing now. In the name of Jesus, what's the matter? Healing power in the name of Jesus. Ready? How long's that been there? Since attending Rhema. That's too long, isn't it? Are you ready? Put your hands up to the Lord. Free in Jesus' name. Day. We rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Command it to go free in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Oh, we speak peace in Jesus' name. Heal. 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 In Jesus' name. I want you to open your eyes. The headaches are gone in the name of Jesus. Had one all day. Bless her, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. What's the matter? What is it?
TMJ.
TMJ? So what do you want? What do you want the Lord to do? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for this man. Lord, he's believing the best he knows how. He's kind of like the father that you read about that had a son that was being thrown around by a demon. He said, Father, he said, I believe, help my unbelief. That's about where you're at, right? Isn't that right? And that's all right, because nobody has perfect faith in everything. So, Father, I thank you now. We add our faith. Everybody stretch your hands out to this man. In the name of Jesus, we add our faith to yours. We command the TMJ to go and the headaches to go in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Yes, sir.
Headaches.
So you got it now?
Actually, yes.
Actually, yes.
Yeah.
All right. In the name of, turn around, look that way, right there. No, just look that way. I'm asking you to do that so I can reach back here.
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you make every adjustment necessary in his neck. In the name of Jesus, every tightness in his neck to be removed and every pain to be gone now. Now turn around. Put your hands up to the Lord. Thank you, Father, for completing the work. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Were you having headaches when you came up here? Or was it just something that happens periodically?
Actually, I did have a headache.
While you're checking that out, seeing what the Lord has done, what's the matter? Touch my sister in the name of Jesus. Healing power flowing now. Command that thyroid to work like it's supposed to in the name of Jesus. Healing. Healing power. Healing power. Healing power. In Jesus' name. Call it normal in Jesus' name. You call your thyroid normal in Jesus' name. Ready? How long's that been that way?
Far too long.
Far too long? years.
Sir.
Hallelujah. You ready? In the name of Jesus, I loose you from me. In the name of Jesus. Come back up here. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I thank you. We rebuke the enemy that would cause that to come. In the name of Jesus, I loose the power of God upon him now. In Jesus' name. That anointing's ministering to you right now. Just let the anointing flow. Healing flow in the name of Jesus. Every part healed. We break off every avenue by which that came in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Healing power in Jesus' name. Amen. So you came up here, was it like stuff? Yeah? It's gone? You like that? Now you keep telling yourself it'll stay that way in the name of Jesus. Amen? Call yourself healed. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up and thank the Lord. Father, we praise you. We magnify you. Bless you, Lord. Thank you that you're doing a good work. Father, we praise you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, you know the Lord is good. He's got good things for you. Call yourself blessed and happy. Amen. Why is that? Because you love the Lord. Because you got the word in you. You're obeying him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so just, I'm believing that you have a great week, prosperous week in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is making a way for you and that he will open doors for you in the name of Jesus. And we thank God for that. I thank you, Father, for meeting every need of every person in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Men, don't forget, if you haven't signed up for the men's conference, go out there and sign up if you would. And so that would be a great thing. If you had first-time guests, that would be a great time for the connection team to go find those first-time guests and take them to get that wonderful gift that's been prepared for them. Let's give our first-time guests a great big hand of welcome. Thank you for coming. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you now. Bless this people in Jesus' name as they go. Amen. If you need prayer for anything else, come up here. The guys over here, ladies over here, and they got the word in them, and they'll help you with what you need. God bless you. Shake hands with a few people and let them know that you're blessed of the Lord. Amen.